Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast, a space for conversations about how you, the birth worker, can create not only a fulfilling and sustainable career, but a joyful and thriving life. I'm Erin Underwood, an educator, movement specialist, mother of four boys, and a total anatomy nerd. My passion is to see birth workers encouraged, supported, and empowered in their careers and life. Hello, I am your host, Erin Underwood, and I am super excited to share with you today's conversation. I get to interview the amazing Lisa Hendrickson-Jack about a subject that's discussed less often and can be highly misunderstood and is a highly charged subject for women's reproductive health. You want to know what it is? We discuss using fertility awareness for either preventing pregnancy or using it to get pregnant. There are so many different misunderstandings. There's so much empowering science to back up the strategy. I don't want to give too much away, but I love this conversation because we dive into the topic and questioning the assumption that we really aren't capable of being the experts of our own bodies, which I love challenging that belief. So a little behind the scenes before we get into today's conversation, I've been working on several projects that are about to launch. And one I've been getting really awesome feedback from my community on is I'm going to be launching a YouTube channel. So I'm going to be providing movement tutorials around the needs that are specific to the birth worker's body. So examples would be like how to strengthen your wrists and your arms after long bouts of applying counter pressure, or how to navigate around a birth tub without feeling awkward or like you're going to fall in, or anything like how to practice getting in and out of a squat without feeling like you're going to fall over. I have specific requests about knee work and all kinds of stuff. I've been getting really, really awesome feedback. But I wanted to ask you specifically if you had anything that you would want me to create a tutorial about, because I am here to serve you and I have been getting really awesome ideas. And I know those ideas are really coming from my community because you're out there and you're doing this work and you're the one in your own body. So if you have any ideas for me at all, if you would love to see me create a tutorial about anything specific, if you could send me a quick email at erinunderwoodmovement@gmail.com, I would love to hear any and all of your ideas. And I am super excited to serve the birthing community through this venue. So on to today's guest, Lisa. She is the creator of the Fertility Friday blog and podcast. She's a certified fertility awareness educator, a holistic reproductive health practitioner, and has personally used fertility awareness as a primary method of birth control for nearly 20 years. She's created Fertility Friday to reach as many women as possible and share the freedom and power you gain when you understand your body. Her mission is to provide you with information she wished she had when she was 19 and searching for these answers, minus all the stress and the mistakes that she made along the way. So now Lisa and I did run into a little bit of technical issues, which we overcame through our own mental prowess, but the audio quality was not quite up to my usual standards, which I apologize for, but this is such a powerful conversation, I'm pretty sure you'll hardly notice. So we're going to get right into our conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Lisa. Hello, Lisa. Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast. How are you today?
I'm awesome. Thank you for having me.
I am so grateful you're here. We're just getting back into the zone. We had a little bit of a technology snafu going on. We've just spent the last 20 minutes wrestling with technology. So we are good. We are here. We are present. We're excited.
We made it.
We did it. So Lisa, you have written a book and you have courses and you have all kinds of things. But for those of my listeners who may have not have heard of you, can you give us a little bit of background, like just from your perspective, like how you got here, what you've studied, who you serve?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a fertility awareness educator and a holistic reproductive health practitioner. And so essentially my main role when I'm working with clients is to help women understand their bodies. So teaching fertility awareness and body literacy at the most basic level means that we're learning about the menstrual cycle, understanding that every single day of the menstrual cycle is not fertile, identifying the three main fertile signs, which are cervical fluid, basal body temperature, and cervical position, and then empowering women to use that information to achieve their intention. So some women want to identify the fertile window so that they can get the timing right when they're trying to conceive. Some women want the option of having non-hormonal birth control, and it's helpful to know that for women who choose that, it's highly effective, up to 99.4% effective. So I think for a lot of women, they want to have that option. And then also the additional part of it, I think a lot of women come to fertility awareness for the practical, like I want to get pregnant, I want to not get pregnant. But what you end up gaining is a deeper insight into your body. So you, as soon as you start to chart your cycles and pay attention to your, you know, your different signs, then you start to realize that your cycles are responsive to what's happening in your health, in your life. If you've got a stressful week or a stressful job or whatever it is, you may start to see that reflected in your cycles. So that in a nutshell is what I do. And what brought me to this place now, I've been podcasting for 5 years, and I recently wrote The Fifth Vital Sign. It's really, you know, I came upon this knowledge and started teaching women in my late teens, early 20s. So right around like age 19, 20 is when I discovered fertility awareness and I started teaching women. I took a course way back then in my early 20s. And so I've been doing this for a while. And what happened was I had a baby. So, you know, like, you know, something like 10 years into this process of charting and all of that is when my husband and I decided to start trying. And when I had my son, I kind of looked around and realized that so many women around me were having trouble conceiving. And what I had been able to take for granted all these years, the basic understanding of my body, knowing that I'm not fertile every day, knowing exactly when the fertile window is and had a time when I was ready to do that, most women just have no idea because we're not taught this. And so that's really what I felt a responsibility to share this knowledge, because if we wait around till the school system does it, we'll just be waiting for a very long time.
Exactly. Yes. So can we dive a little bit into, so you brushed over it, but I kind of want to lean back on that because you talked about how the effectiveness of fertile awareness. And also, can we just kind of define what exactly is when you're using the term fertile awareness and the effectiveness, and what does that process look like when you're talking to your clients? Like, what is your kind of overview of what you're diving into?
Well, I mean, the term fertility awareness is generally just refers to understanding the basics of how your body works. So being aware of the fact that your cycle is more than just your period. And so to take you through the cycle, you know, the first day of your period, the first day of your true bleeding is the first day of your cycle. And yeah, bleeding typically lasts anywhere from about 3 to 5 days, up to 7 days in a healthy cycle. And so in a typical cycle, the myth is that, you know, all cycles are 28 days and everyone ovulates on day 14. But a healthy cycle ranges in length anywhere from about, you know, 24 to 35 days or so. And so what happens is you have your period, typically have a few days before you actually start to see cervical fluid. Cervical fluid is either clear, stretchy, like raw egg whites. It can form a thread between your fingers. It can be like creamy white hand lotion. It can also be like just a slippery lubricative sensation when you're wiping. And so you produce cervical mucus typically for anywhere from about 2 to 7 days before ovulation. And that is your fertile window. So fertile window are the days of cervical mucus prior to ovulation. And then you ovulate, and then about 12 to 14 days later, you have your period. So when I'm working with clients, there's a lot of things that we go through. We go through reproductive anatomy. We go through the hormone cycles, and we talk about how the hormones are connected. So the interplay of estrogen in your pre-ovulatory phase and progesterone in the post-ovulatory phase, how that relates to our uterine lining, building up, shedding, maturing, how that relates to ovulation, so that women can really get that sense of like, because I think because we're not taught about ovulation, there's all these myths about it. Like there's a myth that if you get really horny, we're going to ovulate and like sporadically in response to sexual arousal, like rabbits. So rabbits, that's a thing for rabbits, but it's not a thing for people. And so for women who are wanting to use fertility awareness as birth control, it's really important that we start with a strong foundation of science so that we can understand how these processes work, understand that they're not random, and understand that so often for women who are trying to get pregnant, one of the myths that I like to bust is that the goal is to try to have sex on ovulation day. From a scientific perspective, we're fertile for 6 days per cycle. When you're using this as a method of birth control, you obviously have to add a buffer period to that. So the reason for the 6 days is because sperm can survive in our cervical fluid for up to 5 days. So when we're identifying the fertile window, it's really important to know that any days of pre-ovulatory cervical fluid are fertile because we can't predict ovulation and the sperm can survive for up to 5 days and we make the mucus before ovulation. So when you can kind of get your head around that, just in the general sense, then you recognize that what's happening, what's actually happening in our bodies is a lot different to what we maybe have thought, what the myths are, and all of that. And then what's also helpful for my clients and women in general to understand about the method is that it's not the rhythm method. So a lot of us think, okay, fertility awareness, it's the rhythm method. So we're just like counting days on a calendar. And so the rhythm method basically is that you track your periods and then you would do an average calculation approach. And then you guess when you're fertile based on the calculation. Mm-hmm. So that's not an effective method of birth control. It's not as effective. It is an actual method, but it's just not as effective because any woman who's ever charted her cycle will know that the cycle fluctuates. Ovulation can shift. Ovulation can happen earlier and later, whereas fertility awareness doesn't rely on a prediction at all. Fertility awareness is about the observation. So the way that I counsel my clients, it's, you know, in your pre-ovulatory phase, basically your entire pre-ovulatory phase, all of those days are potentially fertile until proven otherwise. And so the whole goal of this is to start to understand the, you know, let's observe, let's look for your cervical mucus, let's check it every day, several times a day, so that we can really see when it's there, when it's not, so we can establish the difference between your fertile and infertile days. Fertility awareness, modern fertility awareness-based methods have research behind them. So the method that I teach is a version of the symptothermal method. And that means symptoms. So we're looking at the cervical fluid and cervical position is an optional sign. And then we're combining it with the thermal part, so the temperature. And what's really helpful is that there is research that has been done about these methods. And so there's a few research studies where they actually, the women who are participating in the study have been trained in a specific method of charting by certified instructors. And when the method is used correctly, it has been shown to be up to 99.4% effective. Because, and this is the part that's really hard, even for my clients, even for women who've read the books, even for women who are actively charting, it's hard for us to get our head around the fact that there are days in the cycle where you can have unprotected sex with your partner, where your partner ejaculates inside of your body, and pregnancy is impossible because of our biology. It's really hard for women to get our heads around that after years of being told that, because I know for myself, when I was in junior high, I was taught that every day was potentially fertile. Mm-hmm. And that left me feeling just terrified. And I remember, so I was on the pill when I was in high school, not because I have birth control, but because I had really painful periods and I didn't know how to deal with that. And they were mm-hmm. also very heavy. So that was like an easy conversation with the doctor. I have heavy, and he was already like writing the. in my case, when I actually needed contraception, when I became sexually active, I had my own reservations about the pill. So I was kind of concerned about that. And my biggest fear was kind of like getting pregnant and not knowing, like, what if the pill didn't work and I was still taking it and then I was pregnant and I didn't know that, for whatever reason, freaked me out more than anything else. And so when it was around that time I discovered fertility awareness, I had basically resolved to use condoms because then I was like, well, at least if the condom breaks, I'm aware of this. Yeah. that was my logic back then. So then when I discovered fertility awareness, and then I realized, oh, wow, there's only a short fertile window. So there's only about a week, give or take, a cycle that I can actually get pregnant. The rest of the time I can't. So then to me, that really made me think differently, because then I thought to myself, well, do I need to be on a birth control 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when I'm only fertile for about a week?
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that we talked about even in our pre-chat was that even though this is my shtick and I've been teaching and talking and using fertility awareness for almost 2 decades, and I personally used it successfully to avoid pregnancy when I was 20. So I was quite young, and but I was also highly motivated. Mm-hmm. I self-selected. This was the method for me. This is what made sense to me. This is what made sense for me. And I took my initiative to learn about it. I read the book. I grabbed a copy of Taking Charge of Your Fertility back then. I was fortunate on my university campus to have a group of women who taught fertility awareness, and they met monthly. And so I started attending, and then I started, and then I took a course, and then I started teaching. So I think what's really important when we're talking about this method, and just to clarify my position, you know, I don't think every single woman on earth should necessarily use fertility awareness at all points in her life. I feel that women self-select to this method, and I also feel that even for women who it's right for, it may be right for at certain times of their lives or not others. So I think it's really helpful for us to know that it's an option. Mm-hmm. A lot of women tell me, well, man, if I would have known this was an option, I probably still would have used the pill in my 20s because, man, I didn't trust myself to like do all of this back then. But I probably would have come off earlier because I'm really interested in this method, and I probably would have used it sooner. So I feel like that's the power of telling women that this is actually an option.
There's so much authority and power, and I want to kind of go back and then land there. Is one, I think this mindset shift of inviting women into a relationship with themselves and not like, okay, now you have to do this every day. But like, I just think like if you're a mom and you have a kid, like you want to know, like you stare at their eyelashes and their fingernails and like every little piece of them is just so perfect. And you like, don't want to forget it. And like, we're okay with taking that time and like knowing the details of who we truly love. And, you know, if we're in love, like you just stare into their eyes and you want to know the little flecks in the colors of their eyes, you know, like we just get into that space of like really wanting to know the details. But when it comes to ourselves, sometimes it's like, why do I have to think about this? And being more inviting of like, I want to know myself. Like I'm okay with taking the time to know my body and to know its rhythms and to become, I love the phrase, and this is what I always tell, because I think so many women kind of offload expertise onto other people, and being like, my goal, and I think a lot of teachers' goals, is for you to become the expert of your own body, like for you to know yourself, for us to teach you the things you need to know so you don't have to study everything a million times over. But, and I think there's so much empowerment that is connected to that. And then also just like what you said of options. I am all about women knowing their options, not that they have to choose anything. Like women can choose whatever they want, whatever feels good and right and, you know, for them, but they can't make an accurate choice if they don't have all the options in front of them. If they're only told your only option for dealing with your heavy periods or whatever is to take a pill, then we believe that. Like some, like you said, I have had so many women talk to me of like, this is what I was told. I was told this was my only option. And then they were left feeling upset. Like, and maybe they would have still chosen the pill. But I think what they were upset about was that, but I was told it was my only option.
Yeah. I mean, that's something where, I mean, I'm pretty vocal about birth control, and I always have to clarify the point. You know, I talk about the side effects because I have spoken to hundreds, if not thousands of women over the course of my life who experienced side effects. And many of them didn't even know that it could possibly be related, because many of them weren't aware that depression, anxiety, panic attacks, recurrent yeast infections, low libido, painful sex, like many people have no idea that that could be related, especially if it doesn't happen immediately. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the pill for 3 years and then you start getting panic attacks, you may have absolutely no idea that that could be related. And so you end up in a therapist's office and like taking, you know, anxiety meds. And at no point is anyone saying, well, we know that there's a link between certain mood effects and, you know, birth control, and you've been on it for a while. And so maybe we should just, you know, you have the option to go off of it for 2 to 3 months, you know, using other forms of contraception in the meantime, just to see if that could be related. And those are the conversations that are so important, just to know that that could be related. And then when it comes to birth control in general, so many women just, you know, they had no idea that there is a non-hormonal option that is effective. And we could talk about the differences. I think that a lot of the hesitation around fertility awareness-based methods is that they are very different. Mm-hmm. When you are on the birth control pill, I mean, even that, you have to actually take it. But the way that I talk about it now, especially, is that hormonal birth control is making your body resistant to sperm. That's what it's doing. So when you're taking a hormonal method, it's modifying your body. Most hormonal methods suppress ovulation, either fully or at least partially interfering with normal ovulatory function. So you're not ovulating. If you're not ovulating, you can't get pregnant. It's just that simple. That's simple and not complicated, but it's true. So, you know, modifying your body, not ovulating, making it so that your cervix fills with a thick mucus plug all the time. In a natural cycle, it fills with that thick mucus plug outside of your fertile window. But when you're on a hormonal method, it's all the time. And also thinning the uterine lining so that if somehow a magical egg were to come out, even if it was fertilized, the uterine lining is so thin that it's very unlikely that it would be, that it would have a place to implant. So from that respect, hormonal methods make your body insensitive to sperm. And so all you have to do is remember to take the pill. If you're taking a shot, you get it once every 3 months. If you're getting an implant or an IUD, it's just in there. And so and similarly, the non-hormonal IUD, it's not hormonal, but it's in there and it's making your body resistant to sperm. Whereas when you're using a fertility awareness-based method, I mean, it's all you. So it's the difference between the user, and the method. So with fertility awareness-based methods, it's really all about user effectiveness. You have to actually know what you're doing. You have to understand it. You have to understand your cycle. You have to understand the fertile signs and how to track them. So you have to actually take the time to educate yourself about it, whether you want to do it by yourself and read a book, or, you know, I recommend if you're using it for birth control that you actually work with an instructor so that you can get a handle on the rules, understand it, and have someone to walk you through, because I have never had a client who didn't have questions. I've had clients that I worked with for 6 months or a year, and they always have questions for me. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to have somebody there who knows and who can actually guide you through those questions. But it makes the method very different because you always have to do something. Your body is not resistant to sperm. So pregnancy is possible. I mean, I always say it's always possible. Even if you're using a hormonal method, there's a failure rate. But, you know, pregnancy is possible. So you have to actually modify your own behavior. You have to identify your fertile window. You have to modify your behavior, whether that's abstaining entirely, you know, alternative sex, no penis and vagina, whether that is condoms, diaphragm, cervical cap, withdrawal. I know that it's like, but I have to say it out loud because at the end of the day, people use it. A lot of people use it like in the hush, and they kind of like, they put their head down and they use withdrawal. But it's very, very common. So it's a thing. And some couples will use a combination. So maybe they have a diaphragm or a cervical cap and they use it with withdrawal. I've worked with a number of women who during their fertile window will have their partner put on a condom and they will also withdraw with the condom on.
Just in case.
So there's lots of ways to manage this. And I think this is where, you know, we're adults, and I'm guessing that the majority of the listeners are also adults. And so this is part of the adult conversations that should be taking place when we are having sexual activity with another human.
Yep. It's so good. So that's awesome. So we are talking to like midwives and doulas and birth workers, and there's this really tricky phase when it comes to postpartum.
Yep.
Because it's especially if you're breastfeeding or even if you're not, it takes quite a while for the body to get back into a rhythm. So if you, like, let's say you have a client who is really into fertility awareness and that's how they get pregnant, they have a baby, now they're postpartum. Do you have any general recommendations as far as how you can develop a relationship with your body again, knowing its rhythms outside of a really regular period cycle?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that are kind of important in that situation. When I'm working, so if you think about it, fertility awareness is basically the same if you are trying to conceive or if you're trying to avoid. Like, it's basically the same. Because when you're trying to conceive, you still have to check your fertile signs. You still have to identify your fertile window. And you still have to understand the rules, because you could have a situation where you have, you know, cervical fluid for a couple of days, and then it, you know, pulls back and you don't ovulate yet. And if you're trying to conceive and the mucus comes back again, you have to be paying attention so that you don't miss your window. But with that said, when you're not actively avoiding, you are doing it and looking at it differently. Women typically who are trying to conceive, they're charting in a bit of a different way. Because women who are trying to avoid, especially the women who are on the zero end of the spectrum, like zero, no babies, like, you know what I'm saying? Those women, like when I'm working with women who are on the zero end of the spectrum, who are avoiding pregnancy, I mean, all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, and we know what to do when we lose the pen, right? So we know all the rules. And the most important rule is, when in doubt, consider yourself fertile plus 3 days. Like, we know all of this. We've had the conversations. We have a plan for how we're managing the fertile window, and we're on it. And so that's why this method isn't for every single person on earth, because it does take some vigilance. You have to want to do it. I mean, no one's forcing anyone to do fertility awareness. When women choose to do this, they're choosing it because this is what they want. This is what they want to do. They may have a multitude of reasons. I've had conversations and, you know, worked with women who have to use a non-hormonal method because they've had a stroke on the birth control pill. So their doctor told them they can't use anything with estrogen in it, right? So their women select this for all different reasons. So back to the question about postpartum. The first thing is, if you've never used fertility awareness for birth control, it is really important. Postpartum, it's possible to chart your cycles and use fertility awareness in many cases effectively postpartum. It is actually possible. So just to put that out there, like, it's not a myth that you can use it. But if you've never used it for birth control before and or you're not very confident or whatever, it's helpful to know. I mean, postpartum is very different. It's like a really long pre-ovulatory phase, and you don't know how long it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So when you're regularly cycling, you kind of, like you said, you kind of get into a groove. And even if your cycle's, you know, a bit irregular, like you, for most women, you're, you know, you've got the parts, you've got the period, you've got the mucus, you've got the ovulation, and like it just continues. But when you're postpartum, you can get your, if you don't breastfeed, you can get your period back in a month. You can get your period back in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like you can get your period back 8 months, 9 months. So you don't know. In order to, like, my recommendation and suggestion for women who are serious about wanting to use fertility awareness for birth control postpartum is to really consider having a session or a group of sessions with a certified educator who's training in a specific method. It's important because even women who use fertility awareness for birth control, a lot of them get into the habit of really relying on temperature as the primary sign and are really generally confused by mucus. But when it's like, when you're in the postpartum, it's like you've pulled that, like you've pulled the goalie, like you no longer have that because the temperature doesn't rise until after you've ovulated. So if you're waiting for that rise, you're, you know, do a pregnancy test. So the biggest myth postpartum, as all the birth workers know very well, is that you can't get pregnant until you get your first period, which is not true. Mm-hmm. You can get pregnant before your first period because the period is what happens after you've ovulated. So by the time you have your period, your fertile window is long gone and you probably had sex in it because a lot of women do feel like doing it that window. Mm-hmm. And also you give off pheromones at that point as well. So your partner might be all up in your grill. So, you know, if you've ever heard the couple say, like, we only did it that one time, I'm going to be pregnant. Like, well, that one time.
It's all it takes.
Well, and it was probably at the time when you wanted to do it and your partner wanted to do it. And if you're not tracking your cycles, if you're not aware of your cycles and you're not even aware of that, like, so for me, personally, I've had two babies. So I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. And I had been tracking my cycles for about a decade or so before my first pregnancy. So postpartum, I was, you know, and I teach it. And so, but postpartum, I was quite comfortable charting my cycles. And the way that I talk to my clients about it is that a postpartum cycle, you can consider yourself on what I call mucus watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a long pre-ovulatory phase. So you basically check your cervical, or you check for cervical fluid every day. Mm-hmm. And you write it down every day. And I mean, yeah, you've got no sleep and you've got a little one and up and down, but you get a sense of what your, what's called your basic infertile pattern. And then you're looking for mucus. And so when your fertility returns, you see the mucus first. And that's when you can start taking your temperature again, confirm ovulation, and then you'll at least know when your period is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So if your cycles are fairly, well, not cycle, if you're absence of a cycle, but if you're able to just tell, like if you have a pattern that's mostly dry or you've just got like there's ways to do that. And also for women whose mucus patterns are not typical postpartum, because some women can't really rely on their mucus postpartum. Some women have some degree of clear, stretchy mucus all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or some degree of low-stretchy mucus all the time. And that makes, you know, there are ways to manage it to some extent. But for some women, it's actually, they want to do fertility awareness, but the mucus thing makes it just so that it's too much. But there are still fertility awareness-based methods that can be used postpartum. So there's the Marquette method, which does not rely primarily on mucus. It actually relies on the Clear Blue fertility monitor, and you actually are testing for the estrogen rise that mm-hmm. accompanies ovulation, and it's been tested scientifically. So again, these are evidence-backed methods. You would want to work with an instructor to really get a handle on, you know, when to check, how to check. And so, but there are actually ways, multiple options mm-hmm. for women who want to do this. You also need a backup. You need to know what you're going to do when you might be fertile, whether it's condoms, withdrawal, a combination, cervical cap, like all of the options, the non-hormonal options, you need to have options. But I think to your question, it is possible. And again, this is a woman who wants to do this. She has self-selected, you know, this is something that she wants to do. And women are capable of sorting this out if that's what they want to do.
Yes. I love that messaging as far as, if this is something you really want to invest in, you're more than capable of learning your own body. Like, I feel like sometimes the body's just, especially the female body, is presented as just this mysterious, like erratic, like you never know what you're going to get. Oh, female hormones, like they're just all over the place. And to just say, you know, it is work and it is a process, but if you want to lean into it, you absolutely can be the expert in your own body. And so, yeah, I've personally practiced, you know, fertility awareness for the last 12, 13 years and four boys, but they were all when we were open to it, and we have not gotten pregnant when we weren't, you know, not that we were actively trying, but we like kind of would enter a phase of like, well, we'll just see what happens. And you know, that's when you get pregnant. And so, I mean, I'm grateful that I do have a body that does not struggle with getting pregnant. Like that's obvious. I mean, I definitely don't see that as a curse. It's definitely a blessing. And, but it's also like, well, I'm grateful that I know my body because, and just, it's really cool to shift into that place of feeling you're the authority in your own body and you can know, you know, when I feel that like, ooh, you know, I want to go get with my husband. And then I like see my cervical, you know, what's going on with my mucus. I'm like, oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, let's make some choices here.
Well, and I think it's really important because there's been this history of, I don't know if it's an active conscious thing, but hiding information from women about their bodies. The fact that most women don't even know what cervical mucus is unless they've encountered fertility awareness is ridiculous. I recently recorded a podcast episode with a friend, and we were talking about, you know, is it appropriate to teach teenagers this information? Because a lot of people get really crazy about the call, like, oh my gosh, you can't tell, you know, women about fertility awareness. It's like, wait a minute. I'm, you know, from my perspective as an educator, I think what most educators would love to see is education about cervical mucus. Like, talking about fertility awareness is different to talking about sex, and it's different to talking about birth control. So, in a practical sense, from my perspective, teaching a young girl pre-menarche about cervical fluid. You can teach her that cervical fluid is related to ovulation. You can tell her that ovulation is a superpower. I mean, that's how we make our hormones, estrogen and progesterone, and that has an effect on all the cells of our body, not just reproduction. It's a vital sign. It's a part of being healthy when you're in a female body. And also, it's how we make babies. So we can talk about it very positively. And every teenage girl's like biggest fear, unless it was just me, is to just start menstruating and not know, like not have any heads up and warning. And a lot of girls go on the pill because of that, because they want to control it. And what's interesting is like, if we talk girls about cervical fluid and say, okay, before you ovulate, you make this really cool cervical fluid. It's not an infection, so that we're not going to the doctor thinking that we have an infection every month, because that's a real thing. And I think all of us, as soon as you think about it and realize that, well, yeah, there's been so many women who go to the doctor all the time because they actually think they have an infection because no one told them it's normal. So there's that. But also, once it dries up, your period comes 12 to 14 days later, so you can actually track it. So imagine this. I always love to paint this picture. Imagine what it would have been like before your very first period to have known this. Mm-hmm. So you would have been watching for it, and you could have been like, Mom, look, I've got my cervical fluid. You told me about this. And then like it goes away and you're tracking, and then your period comes and you're ready for it and you've got your supplies and you've had this positive experience with your cycles. I think the world would be really different if a lot of women had that type of positive experience. So this, to me, I mean, to me, this is all normal because this is what I talk about all the time. This is my work. This is what I do. And I recognize that everyone doesn't talk about cervical fluid every day. But it's really just not, to me, it just makes perfect sense that we should be educating women and giving the option. And even postpartum, I think it's helpful to know that ovulation precedes menstruation. And it's helpful just to have that information of, even if you're using a different type of birth control or depending on what your personal situation is, it's still important information to know that, you know, your fertility is preceded by, like, it comes first. And also, you can actually, if you have that heads up when you start to see that cervical fluid, like you know, that allows you to make a choice. Do you want another baby? Or do you want to wait a couple months? Like it gives, for women who do want to have another baby, let's say they want to start trying again when their baby's a year old, maybe when they learn about some of those birth control side effects, they don't necessarily want to. And a lot of women, that's the first time they've actually been in their bodies. And they, you know, they feel their emotions. And so, it, you know, going on the pill can actually feel not, like for a lot of women, when they go back on it, they just don't like how they feel on it anymore. Because they've been in their bodies for a year, just experiencing their emotions. And maybe, you know, the pill is associated with a lot of mood changes. And, you know, so, you know exactly what I'm saying here. So this type of information just empowers women. So it just gives you more choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you were reinforcing how, you know, knowing your cycles and your period, that isn't strictly about getting pregnant or not getting pregnant. There's so many other realms of the body that this affects, and the hormonal cycles and the whole thing. And really, you know, inviting women into knowing their body, even if they choose another way of preventing pregnancy, that it's still like, hey, I don't have to be scared of my cervical mucus, or I, you know, like knowing enough to be, like you said, not panic attack, like I need to go to the doctor because I don't even know my own body. And so just bringing this part of the conversation, just making it more normal and more, you know, for, especially for female practitioners, like we can obviously, or, you know, practitioners who work with, you know, the prenatal, postnatal community doesn't have to be female, but it seems females are leading the charge here. But
well, and knowing what's normal for you. So having a sense of, okay, so cervical fluid is, you know, like I said, clear, stretchy, raw egg white type thing, or lotiony white type, or the lubricative sensation. But knowing that it's associated with ovulation, knowing that in a healthy cycle, you typically have 2 to 7 days of it as you approach ovulation, and it's typically not every single day. So if you have that general information and you're charting your cycles and you kind of just have that knowledge of what's typical for you, then if you do notice a change, a shift, oh, all of a sudden you have it every day, oh, all of a sudden you've got like wet, like a wet observation when you shouldn't, or every single day you're seeing something, or, you know, then if you know that that could be a problem, there are women who have been able to identify abnormal cervical cells because of changes in their cervical mucus production that are abnormal. Mm. You know, there are women who might have paid attention to their periods and, you know, they notice how heavy they typically are and how long they typically last. And then maybe they start developing other types of bleeding, like, you know, bleeding every day, or it gets really heavy or gets really light. And that can be a first heads up that there's something deeper that they need to look into, you know, because if a woman develops something as serious as uterine cancer, one of the signs could be bleeding all the time. Mm-hmm. And so these conversations are so important because all things menstrual are basically dealt with hormonal contraceptives, and very little conversation about what's actually normal, what's not, to empower us to be able to do what we need to do to be healthy.
That's so beautiful. And that's such an awesome way, I think, to wrap this conversation up. I would wonder if you could just let our listeners know what resources you have available for them or their clients, as far as if they're like, this is really fabulous, or, you know, this is awesome, but obviously maybe for some people they're like, this is outside of my realm of expertise, but if they could maybe have a few resources they could send to their clients and say, hey, you know, this might be something you'd want to look into. What options do you have available?
Well, thank you for that. I mean, I've created a number of resources, so I'll share those first, of course, and then I'll share some others. But so I wrote the book, The Fifth Vital Sign, Master Your Cycles and Optimize Your Fertility, with this in mind. So I kind of thought to myself, because my, you know, one of my dreams really is to have every teenage girl and boy be fully aware of this most basic information. I learned a lot about my eyes and my ears. Like, I remember learning all the little parts. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense that we should know about our fertility and our bodies and our cycles. So when I wrote that book, I intended it to be a resource that's easily readable for any woman, but I also cited over 1,000, there's like 40 pages of citations in the back. Mm-hmm. So, because I didn't want it to be like, take Lisa's word for it. Right. I wanted it to be a real resource. So one of the, you know, comments and some of the feedback that I've received from healthcare providers and, you know, a lot of women is like, well, first of all, like, wow, I thought I knew a lot about the cycle, but this book really taught me a lot more than I anticipated. So that's one of the pieces of feedback I get. But also, it's nice to have those references so that I can refer, you know, if you are a professional and you are interested in this information, but you also want to be able to do further research and learn more about it, it's really important to have those types of resources where you can see that thing that's really interesting and see where that data came from.
Yes.
So I would suggest that. I think it's good to just, you know, have on hand or to recommend, because it's not... even though there's all this, the science, I write how I talk, so it makes sense to anybody, which is helpful. So in addition to that, I mean, I have the Fertility Friday podcast. I've been podcasting for about 5 years. We're almost up to 300 episodes now. So lots of free information about all of these topics for yourself and for clients. And then, you know, there's lots of other resources around that realm, like the website and all that. The Bible, the Fertility Awareness Bible, the first stop for most women on their journey to fertility awareness, is also Tony Weschler's Taking Charge of Your Fertility. So I'm sure many of your listeners have already heard of that book. That's a good one also to be able to recommend and to have on hand, especially for your clients that actually are really wanting to do this and look into this. And it's also helpful just to know that you don't have to teach, like when you're, you know, in your position of educating about different birth control methods and different options, you don't have to teach somebody fertility awareness. There are certified educators who do that, like myself. And so there are, you know, the Fertility Awareness Association of Fertility Awareness Professionals website is helpful, so that you have a sense of who's certified. There's multiple different fertility awareness based methods. There's not one quote fertility awareness method. So there's multiple organizations that have different training. There's some faith-based, a lot of secular, more and more. And so there's lots of different options for women who actually are serious about it and want to learn. So it's helpful to just have some of those ready referrals for that, you know, 1 in 10 or 2 in 10 women who actually are like, oh yeah, I'd love to hear more about fertility awareness.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Awesome. And I'll link to your website because you have some awesome, just even free resources there too, that you just provide a lot of really good content. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. I'm just so grateful for your wisdom and the work that you're doing. And I just really appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to be able to chat about fertility awareness. You asked some really great questions, so I'm glad that I was able to be here today.
Thank you so much.
Wasn't that fascinating? I love all things human anatomy, and discussing female reproductive health is just my favorite. I wanted to chat with her all day, but, you know, life. So if you're just as fascinated on this topic, I highly recommend Lisa's own podcast called Fertility Friday. She has so much free information available. She dives deep into individual topics. I'm sure any question you have, she's covered over on that podcast. And you can also visit her website to find out more about working with her or just gathering information that can be really powerful for your own clients. If you are enjoying these conversations and this podcast, would you please take 10 seconds out of your day and subscribe and rate it for me? And also, if you would like to share this information with another birth worker in your own life, that would be really powerful if you would do that for me. This helps us spread the word and allows me to continue to produce this content for you. I am so grateful for you, for your service to this community, and for your very precious time. I'll be chatting with you again soon. Bye now. The information and discussion provided on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a medical concern, you should consult with an appropriately licensed physician or healthcare provider.